You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about
totally normal podcasts.
Just like regular
podcast. Regular.
Like a…
Just pod.
Run of the mill. When you think podcast, this is it.
You're just a listener.
This is the one.
I'm just a podcaster.
Wow. It's good to know your place sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Simple. It's helpful to remember the order of things.
Yeah.
Always. And in this order of things, I'm Jordan.
Call your doctor because these knock-knock jokes will leave you in stitches. I'm Doge. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Dora Bell.
Dora Bell who?
Dora Bell who?
Dora Bell is broken. That's why I'm knocking.
All right.
Best one I've ever heard.
Check.
Are you guys in stitches? Did you call your doctor? I specifically said, please call your doctor.
Oh, man.
I called your bluff is what I called. I didn't call the doctor. I called your bluff.
Dang. Call your girlfriend. I think it's time you talk. I got Robin stuck in my head recently. She good.
I'm Carter, and I suddenly remembered my Charlemagne. Let my armies be the rocks and the trees and the birds in the sky.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
Dr. Henry Jones.
The Rock.
That's correct.
Of The Rock. There is that weird overlap of like, The Rock mean wrestler. Rock also prison in which Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right. That almost made Saturday afternoon, obviously. Great movie.
That would have been fun.
TNT. Can I say something?
Circulation.
Is that okay? Is this a good platform?
This is the place for you to say something if you want.
Pretty much all we do is say some things.
I don't understand my… Like taxes.
Oh, yeah.
And when I do them, frequently I am on TurboTax just hitting continue, proverbially crossing my fingers and going, I hope that was right. I don't know, man.
Yep. Yep.
And
it's awful.
TurboTax is just like the other day when I was doing my taxes, I hit a button and it was like, really? And I was like, I thought so.
Are you sure?
What do you think?
I hate the feeling. So I use TurboTax. You do too, right, Jordan?
Yeah.
It'll have this like cute little little image that is this loading form and it's going to the Capitol and it's like that's like the loading thing of like, hey, you want to file your taxes? And it's the most stressful cartoon. Because I'm just like, wait, just like, I can't back
out. I'm just your taxes. I can't. Only your taxes.
Only your taxes. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I hate every the time I submit. That's like if you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
One time it was like, you know, I'm doing my TurboTax. It's in the green. Oh, cool. I'm getting something back. I happen to, on my phone, order tacos. I hit submit to order my tacos. All of a sudden, I'm in the red on TurboTax. And I didn't even, I couldn't get it. I was like, wait a second. How does it know?
Those tacos took you into a different tax bracket is what happens.
Because I've somehow made money. I don't know what happened.
No, you used that taco credit that the government gives everybody, that certain amount of taco dollars you can spend
taco
per
stimulus.
Year. Yeah.
Every time I hit the submit button on TurboTax, I am equally expecting for it to be like, good job, you're done. And for it to be like, do not move. The police will be there shortly.
We like, got him.
Yeah. I don't know. If I ever get arrested for tax fraud, my honest defense will be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't think I was doing fraud.
Nobody told me how I was supposed to do it.
I'm just doing my best with TurboTax. And I'm just like, it's like, is this a thing for you? I'm like, no, I've never done that before in my life. And it's like, really? I'm like, maybe. I don't know. It's so obtuse and confusing and frustrating. And I feel like I'm in trouble when I sit down to.
Where'd Carter? Did they get him? Carter just fully disappeared from our call. I think they got him. They were waiting for that taco admission to be recorded. They got him.
Was he recording near an open window again? I keep telling him to stay away from windows, man.
Stop doing that.
They got him. They tased him through the window. Tasing through the window. That's an old reference. That show's old now.
Dear Evan Hansen's old now?
Yeah, it's from like 20... It's almost 10 years old, I think.
No way.
I'm pretty sure it's from 2015. Really?
Oh my gosh, it is. It was performed in 2015 for the first time.
Yeah. It's almost a decade old.
That's crazy.
Wow. That's wild what we've been talking about.
Carter's back, everybody.
I was just done talking
to him.
So I X out of IMDb and I was like, another tab. I don't want that. X out of what we recorded. So he gone. But now he back.
Hey, when that happens.
Time. Don't you hate it?
That'll get you every time. We thought the tax man got you.
No, not the tax man. Not the tax man. Tax is even kind of an aggressive word to me a little bit. So it's kind of pokey. You know?
Yeah, X. Kind of, is that X? Intense.
That X at the end.
If it was called like TAMS, it'd be like whatever.
Yep.
Have you done your TAMSes?
I got to do my TAMSes.
Your BAMs. Because T is a hard sound too. You need a voiced consonant. To not be aggressive. Like BAMs. Call it ZAMs. That's pretty fun.
ZAMs is fun.
ZAMs.
Adding a Z kind of gives it a wacky feeling.
It's ZAM season.
It's ZAM season, y'all.
Uncle ZAM. And then we could rebrand all of it. And it could be Uncle. You got to give Uncle ZAM all his ZAMs that
it's
he needs.
Just Shaq in a not really appropriate garb from a movie he did in the 90s.
I got Shazam. It.
Yeah.
I'll be done talking about taxes in just a second. I promise. 100%. I promise. I get so frustrated when I'm doing the taxes and I'm like, I know you know what the number is already.
Right.
I hate that this is just the show your work part of homework. Like, why do I have to do this?
There's been plenty of times where I've like haven't done something and they're like, well, go ahead and do this. It'll save you more. But it's also like, if I entered something wrong that's having me give more money back to the government, are they making sure to catch that for me?
No, of course not. Dude, did you see that the FBI owes, I believe, $1 billion in taxes? Our own government isn't paying their taxes. It's like, how about you get them to do it and then I'll do it?
It's not good.
You get them to do it.
I really think if we could change it to Uncle Zam and you got to give him his Zambucks once a year.
Ooh, okay. Zambucks I like.
Everybody would feel so much better about it if you just made it fun.
Zambucks are only spendable on fun things. So when you get your Zambucks from the government, you cannot spend it on like more taxes and more, but you get, more Zams.
But you should get to, you get to pick what your Zambucks are. Like you could give the government like, this is road Zambucks and you got to use these to fix the roads. Or like, ooh, this is like, this that. Is,
it's like when you tithe, but right Zambucks. On the, right, right on the envelope and you're like, this has to go to a playground for the kids.
Right, right. These Zambucks are not for president salary.
Right.
These Zambucks are for making roads better.
Sorry. That's for roads.
Yeah. I want to be able to pay my taxes, but right underneath, if Ted Cruz sees a single red cent of this, I will light myself on fire.
Zambucks null and void if possessed by Theodore Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore Cruz. De la Cruz.
Theodore De La Cruz.
So totally normal podcast.
Yeah, totally normal podcast. That was a good call.
Totally normal.
That also happens to be releasing on what many in the country, in the world, would call a Taylor Day. What do you call it? It's a of the many releases that Taylor Swift has had of her music. Today is another of those. She is the MCU of the recording industry. She's got all her Easter eggs. She's got all her stuff. I was thinking about Taylor and her acting lack thereof prowess.
Sure. Sure.
And it's easy because she's already pop culture, but there's a whole bunch of musicians that have dipped their toes into the acting waters. Sure. Taylor famously for this podcast, or infamously, was a cat in one of the worst movies we've ever seen.
True.
Called Cats.
That might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
It was just disturbing.
I think I'm ready to give it the crown.
It's that was it was disturbing. If y'all don't mind, I would love to do a little rank you very much here before.
Oh, okay.
Before the ad break, and this is according to Yard Barker, the 25 best musician turned actors.
Good name for a dog. If anybody out there just got a dog,
yeah,
name him Yard Barker.
Or it's like when your feet are sore after a bunch of working outside. gonna have to get the Yard Barkers in some hot water. You know, take some Aleve for the Yard Barkers.
Oh, I thought Yard Barker was one of those authors that you only see books for in the airport.
Mm.
That's very good. Even
does
as they
voice acting,
do what now?
Does it include voice acting?
I mean, I'm sure for some of them, but I think in any of these names, I've read this whole list, and any of these names, there's never been one that's like, oh, well, that's kind of cheating. They've only ever been known for voice acting. Sure. You're gonna have some from decades ago, so understand this. There are some super famous ones that are silver screen, but there doesn't seem to be anything missing. To me, I don't see like who I would see on some other list sometimes, just to give you a peek. Like Idris Elba sometimes would be brought up, but that's because he started in rap and then became, but he's just so heavily actor.
He's just
nobody's
an actor,
like, did you know that he used to, you know, these are people that blatantly is did this, music first.
Okay. This is also not going to be like Jeff Bridges who released that country record or like Jeremy Renner or.
Music,
okay.
Music first is the qualifier, or just more known for music?
Let me read this little intro here.
Okay.
Even as they've won countless awards and earned millions of dollars in the world of music, many stars aren't willing to limit their talents to just singing. Throughout the years, a number of musicians of all genres have made the leap from music to film or television, and generally, the results are pretty spectacular. Here's 25 iconic musicians that proved equally successful as actors.
Okay, so it's not necessarily...
Equal success is subjective, but it's kind of like they were killing the game. Like if you're... I'm not saying all of these are EGOT-type people.
Sure.
But it's like, okay. We're having trouble deciding what we prefer more, their music or their acting career.
Got it.
Got it. Cool.
Cool.
Do we go head-to-head
and rank you
very much?
These guys get three strikes. They're trying to guess.
Yeah,
trying to guess back and forth. To make this list. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Great. I'm going to say I'm not too happy with how they're ranked, but I'm happy with everybody that's on here. So,
sure.
Okay. The Lady Gaga.
Yes, sir. Bing, bing, bing. She's number 11 on here.
Great.
Personal fan of absolutely everything Lady Gaga does. I love
Agreed.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I agree.
Incredibly talented. Could be a platinum artist in any genre of music. I'm convinced.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, Sinatra.
He was right behind her. Number 12.
Yep.
Shout out to Scorsese making a Sinatra movie where DiCaprio will play Blue Eyes. I'm okay with that. I am so not okay with Timmy as Bob Dylan. I think that's silly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
The set photos, it just looks like Timothy Chalamet in old-timey clothes. It just like looks like he went to a thrift shop and bought some clothes from the 60s. It does not read as Bob Dylan in any way.
Sorry, I had to let in the old yard barker. Also, dude, it's like you just... Okay, so you did stat... You won a knife fight against Elvis. But when it comes down to it, like, you're not going to be able to play a musician quite like Rafa.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I've heard him singing in Wonka, and it doesn't sound anything like Bob Dylan.
Like, we didn't even do a prosthetic or anything. He's too pretty. Bob Dylan was like...
I know.
Bob Dylan... Yeah, anyways. So let's keep going. Jordan, we're 2 for 2 so far, guys. Good job.
It's my Doge turn. Next.
It's my
Doge,
turn.
Dozier? Go ahead, man.
How about Elvis?
Yes, sir.
Presley.
Elvis himself, number 3 on this list. Had so many movies. Wanted right. to be a movie star.
Okay, I'm gonna test one. This is the person I was thinking of when I was like, does it have to be musician first? You know what I mean? So sure. Here's what I'm gonna test the waters with. Donald Glover.
Ooh.
That's a great test, but not here. Bong, bong.
Okay. He was an actor first, so that would make sense. I'm trying to get a feel for what the parameters mm-hmm. of the list are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Gotta be. I guess he hasn't acted all that much.
Let's see what Yard Barker thinks of that. I saw him on certain lists, but I don't know if he made this one. He did not. You okay. both have un strike.
Mm-hmm. Barbara Streisand.
Ooh, good call.
What an amazing call. She's definitely on this list, my friend. Barbara Streisand comes in at number 8.
Yeah.
Barbara.
How about Will Smith?
The French Prince. The French Prince of Bel-Air. He also had been on a lot of lists, but did not.
Not this one, huh?
Interesting.
JK, okay. He's here. Number 22.
Oh, he's here?
Will Smith, you did okay. it.
Good.
Congratulations. Yep.
What are we at? One strike apiece?
One strike yeah. apiece, man. Y'all are killing this list.
I'm running out of people fast.
What about like Lil Dicky?
Man, good guess, but no.
Hip-hop woefully ignored here. Oh, Will Smith.
Doge?
Oh, I got one. I got one locked and loaded.
Do ya? Huh.
Nope. I got two, actually.
I'm testing the parameters of this list. I'm seeing if I can feel out where a boundary might be. Miley Cyrus.
No.
Okay.
Bong bong. Two strikes Common. For both of you. No, sir.
Ooh, Common.
Three Common strikes. Is not on the list?
Dude, when you see the list.
That's crazy.
Nah.
Not
crazy.
I got one.
Yeah.
Luda.
Luda is on Chris. The list.
Chris. Yeah.
Ludacris is on the list.
He is. I think that was my third strike, wasn't it?
Number 23.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is crazy that Ludacris is on this list and Common is not.
Common isn't?
They have the same career.
Well, one of them was in Fast and Furious. And the other wasn't. I guess there's, you know.
Common was in...
Common was one that I was like, that's 100% there.
Common was in Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
And John Wick. But like Hell or High Water was huge on AMC when it was coming out.
Yeah. You want to keep going?
Guesses, and I have a bunch of guesses.
We'll keep going.
No.
No, that's the game.
I mean, I just won the game, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You I'm out of
but
people.
But usually it's like I'm you out just of keep people. Running. Try one, dude.
Okay. Donny Osmond.
Nope.
Ice Cube.
Yes.
That's crazy. Indeed.
That is crazy.
Ice Cube but not common is crazy.
I'm out. I TV, want you to read me the list.
TV, got a lot of them. Tim McGraw was number 25. What a silly one that is. Mariah Carey, she dabbled in Glitter, which was an awful movie. Don't agree on that
what?
One. Ludacris at number 23. Number 22, Will Smith.
Be on here.
21, Ice-T in a lot of movies.
Sure.
J-Lo is a good call, Jordan. I didn't think of that.
J-Lo is on the list, Jordan. Cher, number 20. Oscar winner, Cher. Number 19, Jennifer Hudson, also was in Cats and has won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
David Bowie, number 18.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cube, number 17. Harry Connick Jr., number 16 of Independence Day. And some
oh,
of
that's right. I forgot Harry Connick Jr. acted.
Jennifer Lopez, number 15.
Sure.
Mark Wahlberg, number 14. Marky Mark in the
Funky
Bunch.
Oh, come on. Okay.
That's crazy.
It's fair.
Queen Latifah, number 13. Yeah. Queen Latifah. So hip hop.
I just forgot every
super
musician.
Neglected. Frank Sinatra, number 12. Lady Gaga, number 11. Good, good. Mandy Moore, number 10.
That was my next one on my list. Was Mandy Moore?
Yeah, that was good.
You said Miley. You were in the right family tree. Dolly Parton, number 9.
Okay, fair enough.
Barbra Streisand, number 8. Beyonce, number 7. Madonna. This one's huge. Madonna, number 6.
What has Beyonce acted in? I don't think I've ever seen her act.
The live action. Live action Lion King is the only thing I can think of.
She was also in Dreamgirls with Jennifer
Hudson.
Okay,
yeah.
And then, it's just they have a film director credit in here for her for Homecoming for Coachella, but that doesn't really feel, I don't know. Who am I to say? Madonna at number 6. Madonna's a big one. Here's where it gets kind of silly. Dwight Yoakam at 5. Dwight Yoakam did have a fun acting career, but I don't know if it makes him top 5. Chris Christopherson. So it feels like anybody that was a musician first and was also in A Star Was Born at some point did pretty well. I've gone back through. I've been hitting just shuffle on Chris Christopherson on Spotify recently. What an incredibly gifted writer.
Yes.
So good. Elvis Presley was number 3. Number 2, Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
You know, that's that Silver Screen stuff.
More like Kring Bosby.
The number 1, Bette Midler. I don't know if that's number 1 for me. She's a lot of fun. But
that is crazy. Bette Midler is number 1
on this
list. It's
like an internet rule. I guess there's some like board on the internet that if you don't put somebody old as the best, that you're going to get killed. Because every list pretends that somebody who... Never mind. I'm not going to be mean. I just feel like there's so many lists that we read that it's like, and the number 1 spot goes to somebody whose famous show has them just going, a whole bunch.
Yeah.
It's cool, man.
At the risk of alienating listeners, it's the Beatles phenomenon.
It is.
Where at the time, they were the best to ever do it, but they're not the best that has ever done it.
I don't
want to
say Bette Midler's not awesome. Bette Midler is awesome. Don't get me
Bette Midler
wrong.
Is not the number 1 best person on this list.
Correct.
That's crazy. At one point, people saw Bette Midler and were like, this is the best type of entertainment we can imagine. But that's not a lifetime achievement. Sure. You don't stay at that space just because you got it one time.
Right. Well, I do. I'm a Bette Midler fan.
She's done a lot. She didn't get one time, but she's hilarious. She's great, but I don't think she's number 1. Who would your number 1 have been of those that were on this list?
Gaga for me.
Gaga makes sense.
I think of this list, Gaga's the one who I feel like could have a successful career only as an actor.
Yeah.
Mm. I think Madonna could have too. And I think they're both similar. I would say Gaga is like
Barbra Streisand's pretty undeniably.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Like a multi-talent in a way that very few people can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Taylor, shout out Taylor Day. You did not make the list, but that's okay. You're making, as we speak,
billions of Dead Poets Society releasing today as we record or the day this releases?
Today as we record.
So I would imagine many of our listeners
needed to know when to. I needed to know when to not listen to it.
The 31 tracks. I like Taylor Swift. Yeah, I just want to make sure and say that.
I like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, 31 tracks. I'll listen to it. She gives it so much content so often that it's so hard to keep up.
I am a busy person. I can't imagine being like, let me listen to 31 songs in a row right now.
It happens, man.
Yeah.
Keeps giving.
My relationship with Taylor Swift's music is like pretty surface level. I really do like, especially the hits I really love. And like, I loved all of 1989. That's like the one like album that I really connected with the most, but I appreciate what she does. And I'll choke up at a video of a little girl scream singing Taylor Swift lyrics in an arena.
Sure. That's really sweet.
Like I'm not
glad she's seems to be a great person.
She really does.
There's a super duper supernova famous person that I have no worries of it being like, well,
yeah,
they agreed. Ran a illegal thing, you know.
Agreed. No, I like her as a person.
They cheated the government out of a bunch of Zambucks.
Yeah. Where are my Zambucks? But yeah, I don't listen to a ton of her music like just for pleasure listening, but I appreciate what she's got going on.
Big time. Way to go, Taylor.
Way to go, Taylor.
And way to go, musicians turned actors. What's a musician now that you want them to go into acting? They haven't done anything yet. Who do you think might be good at it that you listen to?
Billie Eilish, dude. I feel like she's got something there.
That's actually the perfect answer.
She's dipped. She was in Yellow Jackets. She had an acting role in that. I think that was one of her first.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One of her first big things.
I didn't realize
really?
That.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I stopped halfway through the second season of Yellow Jackets, but so if I might have missed her. But if that counts, then I'll say somebody else. If that counts, I just feel like she's got
dog. Billie Eilish was not in Yellow Jackets.
She had something. Yeah.
In absolutely no way was Billie Eilish in Yellow Jackets.
My answer stands. I keep my answer.
Oh, I feel like she's got my bad guys. Swarm. There was a show
she's
called
got that
Swarm.
Perfect amount of weirdness.
Listen, Yellow Jackets, Swarm. I've had more egregious mix-ups on this pod.
That's a fact.
Thank you very much.
That's true.
Thank you very much.
That's a fact.
Let me just look at my recently played.
Somebody that I'd like to see more is Dua Lipa. But that's mostly because she's a gift from God in every way.
Apparently, Argyle was pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm sure, but that can't be her
which
fault.
Which is a bummer.
Henry Cavill's there too, if he can't carry it.
Poor guy. Henry Cavill's got to be the unluckiest muscle boy
man.
In Hollywood. Like, they just can't, he can't get into something that's good.
I know.
I feel so bad for him. Maybe Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare
I've heard it's
be
fun.
Great for him. Good.
I heard it was.
Good. Fun. He needs something fun like that. Like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., like his stuff in Mission Impossible. Like he needs to be like personality action star, which I think Argyle was probably a step in the right direction. Yeah. But I think the movie just, the script wasn't people's favorite.
He's such a cool guy in real life that I want him to do. Not that he isn't like financially secure or anything, but
sure,
like,
he's doing great.
Yeah. I just want him to be, this sounds so stupid. I just want him to be like, happy man.
I want him to be creatively fulfilled.
I want the best for him. I just want him to be happy. I like
him. I've got one. It was so hard. I'm realizing how many musicians have already dabbled in like TV and film. Does that mean it's easier to be an actor than to be a musician?
I would say 100%.
There's not a ton of actors that are like there are, but they don't do well. They're like, I'm a singer.
Entry level for both. I'm not saying it's easy to excel as an actor, but I think if you've already established fame as a musician, getting a bit part in something is a cinch because
I have
stunt casting.
Like, yeah.
There's no way stunt casting than like, music.
It's way easier than Jeremy Renner recording his one terrible country record.
Right.
It's like, you are a megastar, but this record's bad.
Right.
It's a lot. Yeah. That's a way different shift than like you're a mega pop star and your four lines in this one episode of NCIS were pretty fun.
Right.
Pretty fun. Yeah. I have mine musicians that I want to see go into acting. I have two. Do we want them? I'm going to ask you without even telling you. Do we want them on the same show? Or no. Do we want them to each have their own IP? Because I think they could work
together. On the same. I want them on the same show like Rizzoli and Isles.
Perfect. So
nobody will watch it. Great.
Anderson .Paak and Marc Rebier.
Ooh.
Okay. Cool.
Very good.
Also, can you imagine those two making music together?
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
I'd love to imagine. That would be the stankiest, funkiest thing. Oh.
Wow.
We did it.
Disgusting. Let's go. To shout out.
Disgusting.
Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the time where we do it. It's the time where we do it. We're doing it right now. And you're a part of it. Whether you want to be or not.
Welcome.
Welcome.
We have two things that we need you to do. And luckily, they're both pretty much the same thing. It's just two separate links on our website. The first thing we need you to do is vote for the May movie for Two Chunks Movie Club. There's a couple of movies up there right now that we would like you to choose from. A little refresher on the way that works. Everyone in the whole world gets to vote on the movie that we go see. If you support us on Patreon, you get to vote twice. And if you support us at the $5 level on Patreon, you get to go with us. And you can decide whether that's an encouragement to join us on the $5 tier or a deterrent. Maybe you don't want to hang out with us, in which case, don't join that $5 tier.
It's good advice.
The second thing we need you to vote for is the champion for Spring Delirium. In just a little bit after Shout Announcements, we will be talking about your options for champion. What you and us have worked together to decide is the best food of all time. So vote for those. There's links in the episode description, or you can go to twochunksandahunk.com and there's navigation for you at the top of the page.
Do you have friends?
Yes.
Do you have acquaintances?
I have two at least.
Do you have coworkers? Do you have family members? Do you have people you know? Have you told them about us? Why not?
What's he doing?
You should. Share a podcast with a friend. It's the most intimate thing that you can do.
Podcast. Really pass it on.
It's the most intimate thing that you can do in a vertical position. And I think that you improve your life and the lives of those around you when you share us with them. And I mean that.
Bottom of his heart kind of meaning.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
And we're back. We have our championship round set for Spring Delirium. Battle of the Foods. And I have our results. One of these matchups was very close. One of them was in all of our voting series, all sorts of things that we've ever done, in all of our Spring Deliriums, this was the biggest gap I have ever seen in my entire life. Zero votes cast for the competition.
Whoa.
Unbelievable. And that was tacos against cookies. Tacos moves on. Not a single cookie vote cast.
I get it. Tacos versus cookies.
I get it.
I would agree with that.
Wow. What a crazy upset here. I mean, not an upset. What a crazy just like full on box out here.
Cookies are great. Tacos are tacos. I understand.
Tacos juggernauts its way to the final. Our next matchup was Wings against Mix. This one was very close.
Oh, interesting.
Very close. With our winner being Mix.
Not what I thought was going to happen. Okay.
That's crazy.
There we go.
Mix moves on. If you are not yet a part of the community of Discord of Chunkies for Two Chunks and a Hunk, now is the time because you could still catch a massive conversation and debate that we've had in the Spring Delirium channel. Spring Delirium got its own channel this year because it seems to be one of the hottest topics to discuss as soon as our episodes release. On Mix. There were possible conversions here to the Mix side of things.
Yeah, it's true.
In understanding its versatility. Listen,
a lot of people being real crybabies.
I just think a lot of people didn't know. I think people were thinking about Mix. Yeah, they didn't get it. I think they were thinking about Mix as like just Chex Mix, which is enough for some of
just
us.
Just the little blue and white bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
That's this really is everything. It. This even includes Puppy Chow.
Open your mind.
Yeah. Even includes Sweet Mix.
See, I don't think I didn't weigh in on the Puppy Chow thing. If Puppy Chow is just the Chex with the powdered sugar and stuff, then I don't think that's a mix whatsoever. That is
one. All of the best Puppy Chows I've had don't just have that.
Yeah.
They have some little nougats.
My mom makes, she calls it dog chow, and it's like Chex, pretzels, peanuts, M&Ms, Cheerios. Right. That's a mix. You know what I mean? Like
that's a Puppy Chow all grown up.
Right.
That's chow for when you got that dog in
you. You got that dog.
Because sometimes we'll do like a Mud Buddy or like a Puppy Chow that we're putting into our red and green M&Ms.
Yes.
And there
you
chocolate covered pretzel. Yes. Yeah,
that's a mix.
It's just a, man.
We also had some people being intentionally obtuse where they were like, enchiladas are cheese mixed with tortillas mixed with chicken. Don't do that. Just
get
grow
out of
up.
Here. Get out of
mix
here.
Mix doesn't need your
You know
help.
What? When you say things like that, it's like you forget that we have the power to boot you from our Discord.
I'll cancel your membership.
Yeah, I'll boot you. I will refund you your Patreon money. What is your guys' preferred mix plan of attack? Are you like handful, let me have a bit of all these flavors and textures in my mouth at once? Or are you like, it's in my hand, now I'm going to eat an M&M. Now I'm going to eat
No, I'm not eating
these
separate.
Are you just popping a handful?
I'm a pinch. I'm somewhere in between.
Okay.
So I'm not doing
well,
a
sure,
big
I didn't
old,
mean like a fistful
like an apple.
And you put your whole hand in your mouth.
Dude, with how we've talked about food on this podcast
that's
for
true.
Years
that's
and
true.
Years
that's
years,
not off brand.
That's a great point.
There have been times when I have done that. It is not my preference. But I like a pinch sometimes because my pinch size, like the volume, is in hopes of getting a little bit of everything, but I don't mind several combinations. I don't mind it being
right.
Like, oh, okay. This one wasn't as salty as the last. You know, that's the thing about mix is that no bite, no two bites are the same for me.
It's the magic.
Every bite's a new journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every bite's a new journey.
I mix it up. I think sometimes I'll you know, shovel a little half handful in. I think sometimes I'll hold a handful and pick apart what I want at the time and just make my way through it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll pin. I think that's the beauty of mix. It's dealer's choice.
I'm a every single time a little bit of all of it in there. I'm almost never like separating it out. Jess, every single time if we have like trail mix or something is like this bite, I'm going to separate it out into piles and I'm going to eat my peanuts.
Oh, what?
I'm going to eat my raisins.
Piles?
I've told her for years, you just eat trail. There's no mix. It's only trail for your snack because you have several snacks and just now it's time for trail that you don't mix them.
If you're eating raisins without the assistance of the other items in a trail mix, you're an insane person.
Yeah. I like, okay, this won't surprise you guys.
Yeah,
I like raisins
a lot. You like raisins and you got an AARP card. Yeah, we know. We got it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm avoiding raisins. If I can get a mix without it, that's
same
for me.
Same.
Any mix that doesn't have raisins is like tacos in that I will eat all of it.
Sure.
We talked about
I'm not
tacos
like a,
that like...
I'm not like I'm a put raisins in my Chex Mix guy, but if it's like if I'm getting trail mix, it's like I want one with raisins or craisins.
Craisins is a different conversation. I do like a craisin.
Okay.
I like golden raisins. I'd rather not have any fruit. I'm leaning salty.
Yeah, I like a salty.
Minus dried fruits.
I'd like to talk about something else.
Okay.
What if I didn't have anything? I was just like, let's change this up.
Tell me something
I'm done
new.
With this. No, I want to talk about adaptations. Specifically, here's a conversation.
Like our thumbs, or the fact that we have to be born so early because our brains are so big,
yeah,
which makes us the smartest animal in the world.
Right, right. That's what I meant, definitely. But in a different way, what I meant was I want to talk about specifically. I want to talk about things that should and shouldn't be adapted.
Okay.
We are entering an age where we've predicted this before, and I think it stands true. It seems like the new thing is going to be video game adaptations are about to be huge. Like that.
Video games, yes, sir.
I think we're entering an era where video game adaptations are going to be the new comic book movie.
Hey, I've heard Fallout's pretty good. Have you guys watched it
in
Fallout?
That's what spurred this on.
I've heard it's great, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but I plan to.
Okay. Both from like reviewers and trusted friends, yeah, everything is like, hey, this is actually legitimately good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. That's what spurred this on for me, actually, because I think the other thing we're about to start seeing is adaptations of like lesser known media that becomes pretty mainstream because of the adaptation. But then at the same time, we also have things like the live action Avatar adaptation and things like that, where it's like, this didn't need to happen. Why did we do this? And so I think something that's fun is I like to find categorizations and delineations by just talking them out and realizing what it is that we want to see adapted and what we don't want to see adapted. So I want to take a little time and just sort of like have us engage one another about like what kind of things do we think should not be touched and what do we think should definitely make its way to the screen? Something like Fallout, I would have probably said should not become a show or a movie, and clearly it's doing well. So as it's pushing the boundaries of like what makes good TV, what makes good show, I think something that I'm seeing is obviously we have with The Last of Us, like strong story, already well acted, is a one-to-one win, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Especially those first-party single-player story-driven Sony games are basically what if prestige TV was interactive.
Right.
And I feel like that's the vibe of them. So of course, Naughty Dog in particular, I think. So not like, of course, The Last of Us is great.
But then why did Uncharted turn out the way that it did?
You know, so I was actually thinking that when you said what shouldn't be adapted, I think that Uncharted is a great example of what should not be adapted.
Right.
And I think Tomb Raider also falls into that category. It's because these things, they are themselves adaptations of the idea of Indiana Jones or The Mummy into an interactive form. And so it's a copy of a copy when it comes back to a movie. I think something like Skyrim should never be adapted because that was, what if you could play Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones? And it's like, okay, already exist. We don't need a copy of a copy.
You don't need to reverse code it again.
Right.
Right.
And bring it back.
I would even have told you Mario shouldn't, but then it was. And it was pretty good.
Yeah, Mario was great.
I would add Red Dead to that too. So like,
yes.
If we don't need to do that. The fun thing about playing Red Dead Revolver and Red Dead Redemption was, oh man, I get to be Clint Eastwood if I want to. Or I get to just come in here and just the ideal of that.
Right.
That's different too than, you know, that's even what Westworld does. It's like, hey, do you want to play the video game of, do you want to live the video game of being in a Western movie? Like, yeah, absolutely. No rules, 100%.
So
yeah, I would be out on that.
As I'm reading a lot right now, you know, I'm reading Brandon Sanderson. Obviously, we talk about that a lot. And I think of the Brandon Sanderson that I've read, like Stormlight would make an excellent and compelling show. But how do you translate it to live action? And I think that's part of the equation is like the visuals of a world are so important that when it's something like a Stormlight where the visuals get so insane, how do you...
My hot take is that I don't think any Sanderson is adaptable. I haven't read anything in the Cosmere that I think would be adaptable to the screen in a way that is compelling to non-book readers.
What about animation though?
I think people who... I don't know if people would watch it.
Why do you
honestly
think that?
I think a live action or an animated like full like 8-season, 10 episode per season adaptation of the Stormlight Archive would get almost no viewership outside of people who have already read the books.
Why do you think that?
Like, what?
I think animation's a tough sell.
Well, let's say they find a way to make it live action and look good. You're saying you don't think that.
Can I present very massively worldwide popular video game that came to animated? Working on a second season now, and it worked really well. Arcane did this.
It did, but did that have crossover? Did that have appeal to people who did not already have some familiarity with the IP?
Me? I liked the show, and I know nothing about League of Legends.
Sure. I feel like, I don't know. I think that we probably are an exception to the general population in our willingness to engage with stuff that is undeniably like a bit less mainstream, a bit more like nerd culture stuff.
But look at Game of Thrones. Like, prior to the show coming out, this Game of Thrones was in that space of like, unless you were, I mean, Game of Thrones, those novels are huge. Like, that's not a welcoming open door to new readers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is like, Stormlight is a compelling, I'm not saying that I think it would happen or should happen, although I would obviously watch it. But like, what is it about Stormlight that you think doesn't appeal to an audience? Because all it needs is to make it to screen and get favorable reviews for people to be like, I'll give it a try. You know? So like, what is it that you don't think would work?
If it's animation, I do think that's a tough sell to even for a studio to produce that, to be like, let's commit to doing this for as long. Cause like Arcane's different. Cause it's like, let's do it a season at a time. But if you're doing Stormlight, I feel like you have to be like, okay, how are we dividing these massive books into seasons of television? We need to get a full series order. Otherwise we're not going to invest in the time it takes to create the character models and design the assets if we're going to animate it. And I think that's a tough sell for studios. And I just think, I'm trying to avoid my actual answers because Carter hasn't read as much as we have of it. So I just think it gets kind of wild in a way that is maybe a little bit less approachable than Ice Zombies. Because like Ice Zombies, I can understand Ice Zombies, but there's some pretty wild stuff later on that I think is a tougher swallow for a general audience.
Sure. Yeah, that's valid. I think Red Rising, which I just finished reading, is like the closest thing to an adaptable book that I've read in a long time and like is a straight up one-to-one obvious answer. But then like something like a Baldur's Gate, I would say should never be adapted to TV. But I would say it for the same reasons I would have said Fallout, which is like a choose your own adventure game is tough to adapt when there's no story to stick to. And yet maybe that's what makes it a great choice because you can tell the story you want to tell.
I think something that is a good candidate for adaptation, and I'm glad they're doing it, is God of War. That's still currently in development.
See, I would say it was announced in December 2022 for adaptation.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Kratos is like one of the key things about Kratos is he's a physical specimen doing all of these insane things. Like it's a similar thing to Stormlight to me, where it's like it becomes so effects heavy and necessary that it is inherently difficult to adapt.
I would imagine it's different than, but how far off is it from what they've done with Witcher? You know, it's kind of like
the scale is the biggest
physical
thing. Like the scale of God of War is just massive, massive, massive. Like
it's still by Amazon Studios, so like I do think that like especially if you like adapt from the more story driven ones, the most recent ones. I do feel like that could be interesting.
As a story?
Yeah, because I think you could downplay the like, it doesn't have to be a humongous boss fight against the largest thing you've ever seen in a video game.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of a calling card? Yeah, I guess at the end of every episode it doesn't have to be, but that's kind of a calling card of, and also Amazon Prime, just separate conversation is not necessarily a
not the studio I would trust with that.
But yeah, I guess what I'm hearing is like...
Even after Lord of the Rings?
I have soured so much on Rings of Power since watching it. Like, I haven't rewatched it since then, but I really think that I would probably give it like a 5 out of 10.
Gotcha.
In retrospect. Great performances and about nothing else really super stands out to me. Mm-hmm. I forget it exists pretty frequently. But it sounds to me like the things that we feel like make for a decent adaptation based on like what we're talking about works and what doesn't work, something with an already established storyline that we trust that they can just follow or something with a world that you can just kind of do whatever you want in and it doesn't offend the people who watch it.
I think that's why Fallout is a good adaptation.
Right.
Because Fallout is its own story set in the world of Fallout.
Right.
And I think that's why Halo failed, because Halo was, this is the story of the Master Chief. And I just think that, like, that's the danger with adaptation. That's why it's kind of boring, honestly. Like, if I had showed up to watch Uncharted and it was just Uncharted Drake's Fortune, if it was just the first game, it's like, this is great. I already know this story.
I've already interacted
with this story.
The Last of Us Season 1.
Sure. I feel like that might be an outlier for me, because I think those kinds of, if we're talking video game to screen, I feel like the way to go is like, use the IP, but not necessarily the story. But then you have people being like, well, why isn't it about this character? And if you make it about that character, then you have people being like, well, why is it the story I already know? I just feel like it's so, so hard to thread that needle. And if you're going to one for one recreate a story that people have already connected with emotionally and intimately because they've played it, like if you have been Joel, you identify with that story way more than somebody who has just read the hypothetical Last of Us book or watched the Last of Us show. Like if you have been in that character's shoes, then I think there's an identification with that character that means they have to thread the needle so perfectly if they're going to tell that exact story.
Yeah. I think a connection that I'm making, especially with the first half of this episode, it's kind of like musicians and then they went into acting.
Sure.
I think some of my favorites on that list were some of the actors that it's like you kind of had to dig around to know that they were a musician first. So here's the connection with the video game adaptation. I love the idea of a movie coming out that is just fun and pretty mindless, and we're just having a great time and we're cutting people up. A lot of people don't even have to know that it was a video game before. I don't even know if the studio would market it as now becoming this. They just knew there was an IP that was great. So here's this personality, Mark Wahlberg. Hey man, you've done great things here. Nobody's going to listen to just your music forever. You've got enough charisma. Let's just put you on the screen and go just be you. I think Hades can be that, personally. Just give me a hell game that's funny and a hack and slash that's got loose story beats, right? And just have fun with it. It doesn't have to be super long. It can be animated.
Yeah, if you give me a 3-season, 10-episode, like, anime-style Hades show, that's going to smash. That's going to be
what
huge.
What a blast. Anime is perfect for that. It's kind of like what they did.
Castlevania, right?
With Castlevania. Yeah,
similar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just do that with Hades. That's what Castlevania is. Because I do think there's a lot of people, like maybe there are huge Castlevania fans, all right? And they were so excited and they were probably foundational, like early adopters for that show being successful. There was also people that played Smash Brothers and knew of two characters that had something to do with Castlevania, right? But ultimately, like Castlevania was its own thing because it was just fun to watch. Look at these people flex their incredible abilities and half immortal. I mean, the Hades would obviously be one of those TVMA easily.
Yeah.
Red Band trailer. Yeah. Like it's going to be just a hack and slash kind of thing. I'm totally down for something like that. I'm also down for pulling an IP that was iconic and has just been dormant for a long time. We've seen some re-releases of it when they're trying to say like, oh, we've got better technology now, so it can be prettier and you can go play it again.
Right.
I do think like Shadow of the Colossus would be really fun show to watch.
Interesting.
Because it also feels a little bit loose enough and it's so simple. It's like, here's the X amount of things that you have to go conquer, right? And so we know that there's going to be a couple filler episodes and then we've got this massive, gorgeous fight that happens at some point.
Sure.
I think Studio Ghibli... It'd be fun to see them take on that world because there seems to be some relatable beats there.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that'd be cool. Also, I think GoldenEye, I don't know if y'all played that.
They should make a movie.
That would make a good movie.
They should make a movie about that guy.
I think just that character of James Bond just feels kind of cool.
It'd be a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say icon, but sure. I think it could be
it could get
worth
there, though.
Looking into making a film series.
I think an Arcane, like the kind of animation vibe of Arcane... would be super fun for like Wolfenstein.
Sure.
Something like really pulpy, supernatural, a little goofy in concept. Just make a Doom show
and just make it about the Doom guy killing a bunch of demons and being badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
There is a Doom movie, by the way.
Yeah, sure. But it's like not the same vibe as the. I'm talking about like the newer Dooms. But.
The Rock tends to love bad adaptations of video games. Go ahead.
That is.
Dude, I listened to like probably like a month ago. I had a day where I was just like, today all I'm doing is sending emails and writing stuff. And I listened to the new Doom soundtrack like the entire time.
Goes hard.
And I felt so powerful writing all these emails to my clients.
Goes hard. Yeah, I think, and this is like, as animation gets more powerful, as things like Unreal Engine 5 come out that let people create feature films that look almost real, but with totally complete animation. And you can, rather than individually animating every frame of something, you can create models that exist in a 3D world and animate them to do what you want. I think we will soon see more feature length, like Unreal Engine 5 style movies that are like realistic animation, but all animated, and it allows for, you know, the physics of the world can do crazy things because it's happening in the engine that the game takes place in or whatever. Like, I think we're going to see more stuff like that start to come out. And I think it'll be much like any like leap forward with technology. We'll get some stinkers, but I think we'll also get some really cool stuff that comes out of that. And that could be where something like a Stormlight or a Mistborn or even a God of War really shines.
Here's the thing. I think trying to make Stormlight an animated adaptation is handicapping.
I agree. I think it sells it short.
It's going to happen. There is no way. I'm not saying it's going to happen well. I think what we're trying to say and trying to fabricate is like, how can it be done well? Right. I don't think that's going to matter. It depends on how much Brando Sando cares, right? But ultimately, the strongest arm will always be the studio. Someone's going to get Stormlight and they're going to do it. I don't know how long it will last. It's just a risk and it's scary for us. It's getting into a relationship.
Right.
That's just like, well, you know, like we're all married. But I remember dating Chelsea and being like, oh, now we're here. Now we're to the point to where it's like, this is either going right. to be the biggest heartbreak of my life, or it's going to be the rest of my life, right? And so it's like Stormlight will have that point. And saying within 10 years is being stupid safe. I think within 5 years, we're going to hear of some studio that is getting ready. They're going to happen.
Well, he's already been in talks.
Then directors. Yes, dude.
We don't know about which series, but we know he's been in talks.
Yeah, we don't know which one yet. I hope it is. But like HBO is still down for doing Harry Potter again.
Right.
That's silly. That's sillier than saying, like, let's just try Stormlight.
Right.
Harry Potter, there's some people that they stan Harry Potter and haven't read the books. They just love the movies, which in themselves is such a mixed bag. But it's nuts. They're going to do it again. Daniel Radcliffe still looks like he's 15.
Right.
They're going to make Harry Potter again. So Stormlight's going to happen. And I think it's going to be sooner than we think. And I think it's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
The process is going to be like, well, shoot.
Yeah.
Because you want it to be good and you don't know how they're going to pull it off. I don't know.
I think the real answer for your original question, Jordan, of what makes a good adaptation, I think
is
we are discovering. Well, yeah, we're discovering the same thing that I think we have watched studios find out, which is that it's a moving target.
Yeah. Like, totally.
There is no one size fits all. Here's the best way to adapt an existing IP. It has to be. Like for The Last of Us, the best way to adapt that IP is to tell the story of Joel and Ellie.
Yep.
For Fallout, the best way to adapt that IP is to tell a story set in the world of Fallout. Mm-hmm. And there is no, for Mario, the best way to adapt that IP is to do an animated movie. And I can't believe I'm saying this, where he's voiced by Chris Pratt.
Sure.
Like there is no one size fits all. You can't run it through your,
I would even add, I would add too, because we are still in like the fledgling phase of video games being adapted into TV and film. We've had books being adapted into TV and film from the moment film existed.
Right.
And so over on that side, which we could bring
like to the video game side in. They did lots of movies about Bible.
Lots of Bible movies. But it's
somebody
like,
at one point was definitely another, like, to kill a mockingbird on screen? How are they even going to pull that off?
Are you serious? There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think something that we can add to as a possibility of that moving target is finding the right creator, right?
Yeah, so for like, sure.
It wasn't until Denis Villeneuve said, I'll try Dune, that was like, oh.
That it worked.
This is right. It, right? And that was new to us because it was like, sure. Oh, that's right. There is someone who is made for this.
Lord of the Rings
willing to spend the next 10 years, you know, making a trilogy and not doing anything else. Peter
Lord
Jackson,
of the Rings did two animated movies in like the late 80s, right?
Yeah, didn't happen.
And was famously considered unfilmable until Peter Jackson was like, no, let's give it a shot. And so like, I think calling Stormlight or Mistborn unfilmable is probably just what people were doing in the early 90s with Lord of the Rings. Sure. And those are three of my favorite movies of all time. Sure. So it just, I think you're right. It does take the exact right creator.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And that's what's so tough, man.
With streaming services too, it's like, depending on who is making it, is the level of confidence that I will feel in the project. Like Netflix is pretty much a bust now. Like,
yeah, who would make you, if you heard they're adapting this IP that you love, who would make you the most confident?
The
Apple TV
streaming
probably.
Service or the app?
Apple TV or HBO, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Those would be, I would flip them. HBO would be number one.
Yeah.
And then Apple
That's
TV.
Fair. I think it's, for me, yeah, it's like if it's sci-fi, I would trust Apple TV the most. And if it's fantasy, I would trust HBO Max the most. Like, I hope Red Rising goes to Apple TV. I hope Stormlight goes to HBO in this scenario that we're talking about. But I think that
Netflix does not cross my mind.
No, I don't want Netflix to touch anything anymore.
Disney Plus is bottom. I think Disney Plus, I would be the most disappointed if I heard Disney Plus was doing an adaptation of something I loved.
I think I agree. If it's like true crime, I think Hulu's got it pretty good.
Hulu's dipping into fantasy. They have the showrunner for Outlander on lock to do A Court of Thorns and Roses, that entire series.
What?
Uh-huh. That's a Hulu show coming, I think, 2025.
What?
There you go.
But it's the showrunner for Outlander.
I didn't realize that.
Unfaced.
Well, there you go.
Like, we might not have enough time because this has been a great conversation and a long one that I think is worthwhile. But is there a person yet that you think could do Stormlight?
As a director?
Like, is there a creative?
Uh-huh. Or like a showrunner?
Director, producer. Like the Peter Jackson or the Denis.
Sure.
Huh.
Which, and I have full confidence to still say Denis. He's only done two installments. He is not done with Dune, but I mean, with what he's done with the first two, I think it's totally fine to have him in this conversation.
Sure.
I don't usually bring up people that haven't. we don't have the entire installment, but.
You know, I think that when it comes to showrunners, like the only person that really stands out to me right now as like, the best in the business is Craig Mazin, who's doing The
he
Last
really
of
is
Us.
The best in the
and I'm not sure that anything we've talked about today is really his vibe so much. I think he's a lot more grounded than a lot of the things that we are talking about. So I don't know that I really have anybody in mind that I think is like perfect for a high fantasy or a sci-fi, but they're out there. Like those people are out there. And if they're not, then they're waiting to get there, if that makes sense. Like, I just feel like we're inevitably careening towards everything being adapted, which is good and bad in different ways. But there are people out there, I think, that can handle, you know, it's so tempting to be like, I mean, Vince Gilligan's really good at running shows, but I think he would be not the right fit for a lot of these things that we're talking about. And I think he would say that too. I don't think I'm talking about him negatively. I just think it depends.
He's still working on his next show is an Apple TV show. With Rhea Seehorn as the lead.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I just want, in the same way that Craig Mazin loves The Last of Us, famously like outspoken on Twitter before he even had the reins to the show, just talking about how great the game was and becoming friends with Neil Druckmann. That's how he got the show in the first place. Like, I want to see every show, every adaptation that exists have a showrunner who loves the
original material.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's why Dune is good. Because Dune is the story that Denis Villeneuve read as a kid over and over again, where he was like, I love stories. I love sci-fi.
Right.
And so getting to do this is like a culmination of like a full circle Ouroboros of creative inspiration for him.
Yeah. I think every creator deserves to see their creation treated with respect when it comes to adapting. And so, yeah, I just want every show to have that. I want every movie to have that. So that's sort of my landing point on it, I think.
And Zack Snyder, just keep away from all of it.
And Zack Snyder.
Please don't touch like, anything Zack Snyder.
The person
Snyder.
Who loves it the most and Zack Snyder. I want him to be a co-EP on all this stuff.
No. Get out of here.
Get him out of here. I don't even want
to
see
him. You just don't understand. It just take. You have to be so smart to understand
Stormlight
his themes.
He filmed in his backyard, dude.
You don't even understand. Jared Leto played every role. You don't even understand.
Jared Leto. Never mind. I was going to spoil Stormlight as a joke, but then I didn't.
Gee, thanks.
I decided not to. That's a podcast. We did it.
I don't know if you have noticed, you've been listening, but the moon did hit your eye like a big pizza pie, and that was a podcast.
Let's call that one a podcast. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're voting in all of the delicious open votes that we have right now. And please jump on Patreon and get yourself extra votes, but also get yourself in our Discord so you can come see movies with us. We really want to see movies with you. So make sure you do that. And of course, to end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name. And what is the thing right now that you most would like to see adapted to screen? Or like, I guess in a perverse like Avatar sense, something you'd like to see change format? For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan. And for me right now, it's Red Rising. I just read them a couple weeks ago, the first three. And I just, as I was reading it, it's just one of the most cinematic book series I've ever read. And as I was reading it, I could just see it in my head so clearly being adapted to screen. I actually think that the author's in talks right now to do it. So I think it's probably going to happen. But
yeah, I feel like books are having a big moment right now.
Thanks, TikTok.
And so I feel like every author whose book made it big on Book Talk is like, studios are knocking down my door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking over my shoulder at my bookshelf to see.
Mm. Declaration of Independence.
Too bad.
Hop on Pop.
Okay. This is not on my bookshelf because I'm a grown up, but I'm Doge, and a animated children's show of The Magic Treehouse feels like such a layup. I cannot believe that has not been done.
Sure.
You could do that so cheap. I feel like kids would love it. I cannot believe that that doesn't exist actually.
Yeah, that's valid.
It'd be like Move Over, Bluey. Stupid blue dog.
Hooey?
These kids are traveling through time and their imagination in a treehouse.
Whoa.
I'm Carter, and a lot of the time, so there's so many good video games I can't play because I cannot, in the immersiveness and the empathy of it, separate myself from the story. We might have mentioned this before, but in college, people would watch me play scary video games, mm-hmm. because it was just fun to like watch somebody have intense anxiety.
He too afraid.
I scream, I duck out of the way, I hide when I need to hide, like in person. So I think something like Bloodborne or something like,
because
it's
so
a little bit
bad.
More palatable for me to watch it and not have to be the person making the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a video game that I played that was the scariest experience of my life that I think would be a great 8-episode HBO series. Outlast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Terrifying premise.
Very scary.
But I think could be really good TV. And I would be totally down for that.
Sure. I can hear that. Well, there you have it. Make these things. I'll settle just for an HD remaster of Bloodborne, honestly.
Make that. Make these things. Make an HD remaster of Bloodborne. In exchange, we will give you clicks.
We'll give you clicks. We'll share our clicks with you. But this is how we got ours. You can't have them.
We're only two trades away from the longest road.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.